Welcome to Health Matters, a podcast where we talk to healthcare leaders and discuss current trends and innovative healthcare products. I'm your host, Mary, and today we're going to talk about health and nutrition, genomics, and patient engagement. Stay tuned.
Today, my guest is a doctor who spent more than 20 years helping patients, a former water ski world champion, Dr. Grace Hamister. Welcome, Grace.
Hi, thank you. It's lovely to be here. I'm happy that I could share some time with you halfway around the world.
Thank you for coming, and I appreciate it. So just as a starting point, could you please give us a little bit of your background and who you are?
Sure. So as you said, I have been in practice for over 20 years as a chiropractor, a functional medicine, and an integrative medicine specialist. So I combine the best that nature has to offer with modern technology and ancient wisdom and medical technology to give people the best possible outcomes that they can have for their health and sustainable living.
Why did you decide to choose this particular direction?
I think some of it had to do with my athletic background. I was the first Olympic level rhythmic gymnast in the state where I grew up in Wisconsin. And after that, I was, as you said, a professional water skier. I worked in SeaWorld in San Diego, Cypress Gardens in Florida. I even worked overseas in Italy for a summer, which was lovely. And through that time of my athletic career, I saw a lot of my teammates and friends getting hurt. And usually when they would have to get surgery, then their career was over, because at that time it was so much more invasive too. The technology of surgery was very different than it is now, and it's constantly improving. However, it was enough to make me just sit and think though and be like, you know what, there's got to be more to do than just take this route every time. Obviously, if you break a bone, you need to fix it. Maybe there's things you need to do for that. But if you can do other things to stay proactively stronger so that you have more stores, so to speak, you can recover faster. As an athlete, the way that you achieve optimal peak performance is if you can repair faster than your competitor, then you can have a better day. So that's what led me into looking at more of, you know, the alternatives, which I feel are the central ways in which the body works better rather than the alternative, quote unquote, alternative. So that's what really inspired me, was my athletic background and seeing how my athlete and my geeky scientist could totally just merge together and create a life that's helping others doing the same.
Sounds good. Sounds really nice story. And what are you doing right now? So you are a chiropractor and you're working with celebrities mostly and helping them.
I work as a concierge doctor. So I travel with my patients either on site, on set, backstage, overseas, things like this. I've recently relocated to my home state in Wisconsin. So I'm doing more of a brick and mortar business now, where I have my office and I see people in my office more so than traveling, for obvious reasons. The pandemic has made a little bit of a different situation for us. And I think that having a central zone for people to come that I can keep sterilized and safe from not getting transmitted with the virus is much more important. So these days I'm doing more of that brick and mortar approach. But yes, I see people as a chiropractor. My specialties especially are in nutrition and functional medicine. So I get to the root cause of why people are having the issues they're having, be it global inflammation where they have gut issues that are really difficult to figure out why they're happening and they're not really getting serviced in the normal medical community, if you will, or the allopathic MD community. They come to me and we do some very structured and specialized testing that looks at the chemistry, the biology, the biochemistry, the physiology of why these things are happening in your body. So I help people also with cold laser therapy. That's another technology that I use in my office that helps people to heal with quantum speed. I always say it makes you heal like Wolverine from the cellular level on out. So that's another thing that I do, as well as a few other modalities that are very specialized.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned testing, and I'm actually interested in genomics-based tests. Do you believe that this kind of tests really help people to understand what kind of nutrition they need, what kind of deficiencies they have, and therefore build their right program?
100%. I love that you brought that up. That has been so fascinating to me. It's been exploding more on the scene over the last, I would say, 5 years or so. And that's because our laboratories are able to be more efficient and the technology there is allowing for the masses to have access to this stuff now, which is so cool. So yeah, genomic testing, I think, is right on point. In fact, I just posted about this on my just the other day. My podcast is called Uncommon Medicine. Yeah. And on my Facebook page, I posted an article about this. There's actually a company right now, and it's something like $186 US mm-hmm. to get a kit and do the testing to see mm-hmm. what kind of food is best for your body, what you're rejecting, what you're using best. And then you can tailor your intake around that. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Sometimes these tests are not super accurate. Sometimes doctors do not really accept it. So what do you think about it?
A lot of people in the scientific community are going to debunk anything that's newly coming out, especially doctors. Scientists are more likely to accept it because they're looking at the double-blind randomized trials and how they work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel that the medical community can get paralyzed by looking at where we are in the research and the studies, rather than looking at how effective this can be clinically. I haven't seen enough studies on it, so I'm not going to do that. If you're doing something so innocuous as looking at a test to see what kind of food you can eat, that's a pretty mild way to approach optimizing your health. It's not like you're getting an injection or taking some sort of drug to augment something right off the bat. What you're doing instead is just looking at stuff and saying, hey, does this work? And then there's also tests that you can do with the genomic testing. So it can, when you have one done, you should do the other. You can do food sensitivities tests at the same time. And those are, you can do that with salivary testing, and you can do that with stool sample testing, and correlate all three together. And now you've got yourself a pretty good mat of information that you can use to formulate a direction on where you want to go.
I totally agree. Probably in the next years, doctors will start to accept this test more, and hopefully we'll see more benefits from them.
Agreed. It helps that there's guys like Dr. Mark Hyman out there now. He's an MD, and he's really very well known in the medical community as well as just socially now. People are looking more at the celebrity doctors that are out there, and unfortunately, it does have to be an MD that is getting his face out there. It can't be somebody from my profession who's literally been doing this for over 100 years. That's the way we've always approached food and always approached the body and how you can make mm-hmm. it better. But now that there is an MD doing it, I hope that kicks the pants of other MDs to look at this stuff and say, hey, this is real. And I don't need to pretend it's like it's a religion, because it's not. I love that. People say that to me all the time. I don't believe in what you do. I'm like, I'm not a religion. You don't need to believe in me. Just go look at the facts and read the damn studies. Like, here's the results. So they're right here. So that, I think, facts are far more interesting than whether or not you believe in me. So that, I think that paradigm shift is happening and the change is happening, and we'll all just be better for it.
Yeah. And talking about the change, do you see how people are changing their nutritional habits over time during COVID and before that?
I see. Yes. Yeah. The first shift is that there are no habits. All of our habits just like went bloop right out the window. So the first thing that I noticed through this pandemic was just the unknown aspect of things and people really not having a schedule and what a new schedule is. Now that we've been in this for a few months now, and people are working from home and we're doing more on Zoom and having more of a pattern of what our day looks like now, I think that's been helping to stabilize eating and eating habits. But at first it was all just about, I'm at home, so I'm just going to eat and drink anything. And of course, like alcohol and wine all day long, because you're like, why not? And so these kinds of things, I think, were more of an issue at the beginning of when the pandemic happened. Plus it was so stressful. It was so scary. And seeing New York City just completely getting ravaged by people dying and the hospitals overloaded. And we didn't see that from anyone in China when it was first starting it over there, because they contain all that media. So when we first really started seeing it happening around the world, it was shocking and it was scary. And people are stressed out. And what do they do when you get stressed out? You start doing things that make you feel better. And eating for many people is something that just makes you feel better. So it was a comfort action rather than you couldn't actually go outside and go for a run because you didn't know if you'd die or not, and you weren't allowed to. So fitness and exercise decreased tremendously. And until we really started to get into a groove with all this, there's been a lot of really good things that have come out of this pandemic too. Like what I was talking about earlier, just you and I being able to have a conversation around the world. I never would have been able to do this. I wouldn't even thought about doing this last year. And so something like that, I think is just so cool. And the fact that we have that interconnectivity and telemedicine now is so much more prevalent and so much more available and so much less scary to use. People are embracing it more. You know, things that were crawling along at snail speed to get started because it had to go through the bureaucracy and all the channels of getting the yes stamp on it have now been pushed through faster so that we can function better. And I think for that I say, yay, virus, you know, because there are positives from this. And of course, that does not for one second diminish the awful atrocities of all the people who have lost their lives. Of course, I'm sensitive to that. But I'm looking at the other side of that and saying there's some really good blessings that came from this too.
Yeah, totally agree. And also people are getting much more information about nutrition, about food, basically how the health and food are connected. And it actually should help, but it doesn't always help. Unfortunately, people still use lots of fast food to just get some calories.
Yeah, that's that comfort eating thing that I was talking about. But the good news is there are a lot of options for really good food now too, that people are becoming aware of how important it is to connect to the earth, to be less wasteful, to eat seasonally, which is what will be best for your body too. If it's summertime, you have strawberries. If it's winter, you have leafy greens. Like that's how it should be. And not just try to make these things grow during times when they're not available. As we go through this process, I think there's something that just struck me as being really interesting with when the pandemic first started and the whole world literally was on lockdown for that first 30 days, where everywhere from the Eastern Bloc countries through America, through everywhere, we were all indoors for at least 30 days. And there's something that was really interesting about that I really enjoyed, because you can't unsee what happened. And anyone who can argue that there isn't a problem with global warming, you could not unsee the fact that in 30 days, our Earth had a chance to not only heal, but the air quality improved. The water quality improved. The animals were able to come out and like actually be in the environment in places they hadn't been in years. Like in LA, we had dolphins that were coming into the channels inside of the city that hadn't been there ever. Honestly, it's because the quality of the water was something that they could tolerate, and they weren't seeing as many people, which of course would freak them out too. But the point being, there's a shift of consciousness and understanding that our relationship with the earth, with our food, and with nature is intimate, and we can have an impact on it in a positive way if we just pay attention and be more conscious of our choices. And so while we have a lot of self-fulfilling, habit-forming kind of things that we do to make ourselves feel better, I think having the ability to see these changes and what happened to improve the quality of our lives, it's an eye-opener. And I think that more people are paying attention to that. And I think in the long run, that's going to take us a far way or a long way too.
Yeah, but you are in LA, but you do not have such a situation as people in Norway, for example, might have. So they have 9 months of winter, basically, when you have nothing, not even a single berry. So you are basically vitamin deficient, like all vitamins, you have deficiencies. So the situation.
That's true.
Yeah. Seasonal food for these countries, is it still relevant or they might need some other?
I've got really close dear friend who lives in Oslo, and it's part of your culture to prepare that winter is coming. So that's why things like fermented foods and sauerkrauts and things that are canned work, especially in the Scandinavian countries, because if it's not pickled, you're not going to be able to eat it in about 3 more months from now. As part of the culture, you just get used to that. So your seasonal eating is obviously going to be different than the seasonal eating for somebody who lives in, say, Costa Rica. But that's where the genomics comes in, because somebody in Costa Rica isn't going to be able to survive on pickled mackerel like someone in Oslo will. And so that's the interesting part of it. And then, of course, we do have really awesome resources now to get additional nutrients and have more super saturating superfood access because of technology. Like there's a really awesome company called Infinity Greens. It's by the guy's name is Billy Merritt. And he created a line of products that helped him to repair a brain bleed that he had. He had a brain disorder that he would have 1,000 seizures. He just always would be having these seizures. So he created these greens, and they're a powder, and you just make them in a smoothie in the morning, and they taste delicious, and you get super saturated nutrients for your brain and your body. And it's stuff like that that's much more prevalent in our time and day now. So the paradigm shift, I think, is very important, but then also recognizing that there are things out there that are still earth conscious, like Infinity Greens and Infinity Seed, that people can take and use to keep your health on the positive side and more optimized.
And actually, I was thinking about people who migrate into other countries. For example, a person from Costa Rica who goes to Norway. He needs a dietitian who will be working with him personally, and he will do this genomics testing, and he will understand that his patient, for example, is not like normal person from Oslo. He needs some personal attitude.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you need to get care packages from home. No, not too. maybe get some food sent from your sisters or, you know, or mom or something. But yeah, if you weren't born in the region that you immigrate to, that definitely has an impact on your biology, for sure, and your gut.
Yeah, do you believe in personalization of nutritional programs? So is it possible to just follow the general trends, what people are recommending on the internet? Or you need to do blood work to understand what works better for you and then follow these prescriptions?
Yeah, there are some basic ones that everyone should follow, like making sure you're getting your antioxidants, making sure you're getting as many of the superfoods I just mentioned as possible. Vitamin D, that's a big one. That's even being seen in literature now to having a huge impact on decreasing COVID. And there's some things you can do for your immune system and for your gut to eat foods that are more alkalinizing and making sure you get your probiotics, those like live probiotics, the real ones like fermented foods and kefir and things like this. Those generalized things that will keep you in this lane and not moving all over the place so that your body has to keep fighting itself. Those are generalized, and you can find some things in the web that I would recommend and that I could stand behind, if that makes sense. You know, that it's general public knowledge that I could stand behind. But to truly get an optimized system for yourself, everybody's different. So why wouldn't you want to know? Honestly, if somebody asked me how much vitamin D should I take, I'm like, I don't know. What are your numbers? Where are you at right now? Let's find out. And it's cheap, it's easy, and get the information so that you have the ammunition to keep your brain, your body, your gut, and your entire system working at its best. Blood work and probably stool sample. Those two together really give you a giant amount of data that you can use to find out where your numbers are and what a game plan should look like for you personally.
Yeah, because people are talking about vitamins and nutrients a lot right now, especially in winter. And sometimes what I know is that sometimes people take too much vitamin D, for example. So
are you doing the right ones? Like some supplements can be toxic if they're not soluble. They can get stored in your body in ways that can harm you. However, 9 times out of 10, doing something rather than doing nothing is still also a good idea. But you're right. Just randomly choosing which ones you think you need to be doing rather than actually getting tested to find out what you really need are two different things.
You work a lot with patients and you're helping them to create a program they should be following on the long term. So how do you keep them engaged in this process? Because it's quite hard to do.
I cannot attach myself to the outcome of someone else's journey. I can lead them in it and I can do, I'll give them so much information and 100%, I'll give 1,000% of who and what I am to anyone that wants it and will use it every time. That's what I know I can do. But mm-hmm. what I can't do is be responsible for how they use the information. I've had people who have had miraculous changes by doing everything I tell them to do because they actually do it. And then I have other people who like do well. And then because they cherry pick or pick and choose the things that they are most comfortable doing rather than some of this stuff is hard. You do have to change habits. If you're looking at a situation where you're having surgery, for example, this is an easy thing to deal with. What, because you would take some certain vitamins and certain foods before the surgery to prepare you for the surgery so that when you're out of surgery, you can heal faster and have better recovery time. I call that pre-op and post-op work. And that one is pretty focused. People really get that. And okay, I have this amount of time, then I have to do this, then I have the surgery, and then I have another few weeks that I have to do this other stuff, and then we're good. And they usually focus on that pretty easily. But when you're looking at a major change where you have someone with severe gut issues that has bloating or brain fog and all the things that go with the gut-brain axis not working properly and being disrupted, that's a longer journey. And sometimes people don't necessarily like having to do it because that means that they have to stop eating all of their quote-unquote favorite foods and substitute them for other ones that will serve their body rather than break and present them in a way that is gourmet and foodie and delicious so that they'll actually be inspired to stay on the program rather than being like, this sucks, I'm not doing this. There's got to be that balance. So how the outcome comes about is 100% on the shoulders of the patient because I can't eat for them. But what I can do is give you every possible choice and every possible reason and every possible bit of information and support that you can get.
How do you think we could improve product and food discovery in, for example, stores?
First of all, I would like to see when you're reading a label on a product, there are so many things that are in just the ingredient list alone that create our big four, which is diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and obesity. All four of those are food-related diseases that can be reversed or avoided at all. And in processed food in particular, the fast foods and the ones that are really causing a lot of these issues, that needs to be disrupted. That industry needs to be disrupted. And people need to understand that it's not about the calories. It's not about how much protein is in something. It's about looking at that ingredient label first and seeing what toxins are in there that are causing the breakdown in the first place. So then you take that into consideration with making sure that when you do have an animal product that you're eating and that you are choosing to put on your plate, make sure that animal only ever saw one bad day. That's my philosophy with it, that it's not a big business farm where the animal is being injected with all kinds of shit and protein and antibiotics and all kinds of stuff that causes them to stress out because all that cortisol that they release is going straight into your body. That's why. So I don't ever want to subscribe to or give money to an industry that is completely just decimating the life that is being created for us to survive. I think that's disgusting and I won't participate in that. So I only support small farmers and make sure that the cow had a lovely cow life doing what cows do. And then they just had one bad day. There needs to be a disruption in the toxins that are injected into our foods and an elimination of the things that I call food-like products, which are all those things that have a shelf life of 2 to 5 years. If it can't destroy itself over time, think of what that's doing in your body. is just sitting in there wreaking havoc on your cell structure. You're not getting any nutrient value out of eating plastic, right? So it's, and that's what some of the constituents of this stuff is. The trans fats, the excitotoxins, the plastics that we have that our water is in now, all this stuff is just, is what's creating the big four that we have. So what I would change in the food industry is that ingredient label. That's what I want to change.
I totally agree with you because I'm vegan for the whole of my life. Unfortunately, 90% of people who are consuming meat and meat-related products, they are actually using the products of these huge meat production factories and so on. So it's definitely not high-quality meat. So it's not.
No. And I'd like to even say it's not a high-quality animal. Because people disconnect the fact that meat is not, it's not just meat. It doesn't, it's not born in a package that's cute and sitting in your grocery store. That was an animal that was treated very inhumanely. And if I do have an animal product, I'm not completely vegan. I was vegetarian for a short period of time in my life too, but I do eat meat. And but I'm very conscious about it, and it's not in giant amounts. I never eat fast food, and I never ever give my money to the industry that is facilitating this kind of bullshit, because that's what it is. I just won't do it.
What kind of labels would you put on this kind of foods?
Warn people, you mean?
Yes.
Of what's in them?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I want to create an app that integrates mixed reality and virtual reality experience for the grocery store. So I'm actually in the process of doing this right now. I'm starting a crowdfunding campaign, and I'm getting a few technology guys aware of this so that they can create it for me, because obviously the tech part is not my, I'm not a computer programmer, but I'm really good at using them. I want to create this program that you have on your phone, that when you go to the grocery store, you can scan a label and something will pop up to let you know what diseases could potentially happen from eating the foods that may be in there, and which ones will be decreased as well too. Like how you can, this particular one may help you with losing weight, or it may help you with decreasing headaches, or it may be help with decreasing joint and back pain because it's anti-inflammatory. So that's what I want to do for the food industry, is just bring awareness so people can have a more empowered perspective and a more empowered visit when they go to the grocery store to get their foods.
Yeah. The idea is totally great. And I would absolutely love to use this app, because when I'm going to the grocery store, it's so painful because I'm trying to understand whether I should buy this product or not. Because, for example, I'm vegan, I'm trying to avoid certain products. But obviously, you cannot understand what's in it unless you are like 5 minutes reading everything about this product, because sometimes they are not very clear about what they're putting in.
Absolutely true. And that's what I want the app to do too. I wanted to focus on people who are vegan, people who have gluten sensitivities, people who have allergies and nut allergies. And you're absolutely correct. When you're looking at these things, you may read the label, but because you haven't been trained in biology, biochemistry, organic chemistry, food science, nutrition, it's hard to figure out what everything means. And this hopefully will make that a whole lot easier for everybody.
It's also connected with making these healthy decisions much easier. You're absolutely right. Because sometimes it's too much, because you need to understand what I want to eat for supper. Okay, I want to eat this one. So I need to buy this and this and this. And what kind of food should I be eating, or something like this? And it's like constant stress, because you cannot make 100 decisions easily every single day. So you are making faster decisions. Faster decisions means faster food, means not really
exactly
food. Yeah,
that's so right. Then you have fast food, you have the fast food diseases, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I think one crucial thing that helps when you are working with the nutrition specialist is accountability, because somebody is watching, he can ask you, what did you eat today? And you will be like so ashamed that you did eat this.
Exactly.
The hamburger. And you're really accountable. And this is stress in good sense and responsibility in good sense.
Yeah. And I look at it too from my athletic background. I'm just a good coach. That's all. I'm here to let you know that you're doing really great, or yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. And you're right. I always tell my people too. I'm like, think of seeing this face. Every time you're opening your fridge, just look at my face. And if I'm going, no, and it's funny and it's true. I like using humor when I'm working with people because it helps and it's true. And so people have that face in their head. And I'm like, okay. And because then they will have to see me and actually get the face. And then that's not fun.
And what about working in groups? So people who are, let's say, accountable before each other and not only the dietitian. Does it work or it's not really good?
Oh my God, yeah. Working in groups is so much more effective. If you're or working with a family in particular, if just the mother was working with me and her partner is not on board or mm-hmm. the kids aren't on board, that is so the success rate for her to get what she wants accomplished is so much more diminished. But when you have the whole family on board, oh my God, the results are completely different. And the same works for people, friends working in friends, or even strangers coming in for the same purpose. It's definitely helpful to have a group that's on the same page.
Yeah, energy is contagious. So people yeah. who are really active and inspired by the idea, they are just inspiring other people, other members of the group. And so somehow they're pushing each other. And yeah, and again, accountability, because you may not tell this to your dietitian, but your daughter will see this.
Yeah, that's what keeps me focused too. Last thing I need is for someone to see me scarfing down some crappy McDonald's food and walking around while I'm telling them to not eat that stuff. I believe in not doing it anyway, and it's not part of my normal lifestyle.
And what do you think about gamification? So it might be a gamified app. There are numerous gamified apps. For example, eat 3 days in a row only healthy food and you will get a badge. So you are healthy and so on.
You know what? You're bringing awareness to me of something that I think I might have to add in my app.
Yeah,
I didn't even consider that. Yeah, to have a gaming aspect to mm-hmm. it too. That's interesting. I'm going to look into that. Thanks, Molly. And the gaming industry is huge, so why not have something that actually can make you healthy, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people are so interested in the game itself and they're not really interested right. in what's behind the game. It's not about getting this yeah. badge. It's more about listening to yourself, to your gut, basically, and to understanding what kind of results do I have with this new nutritional habit besides
right.
veg.
No, I understand. I think that would be a really good concept to have for kids, but to create mm-hmm. a game around how to choose food and why, and make it so that it's fun and interactive and teaches you about the whole process from a young age, so that by the time you're living on your own, you have more of a platform and a reservoir of information and knowledge getting out into the world and being able to choose the right things. That'd be really good.
So you're talking about kids, but what I know that kids, normally they just repeat what their parents are doing. So if parents are eating fast food, you can have gamified app and they know that eating fast food is bad. And let's say drinking water is good, but they won't do this because they do not have an example before them.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That is tough. That's a tough one. But that's what I was saying earlier too, that we had talked about. The paradigm shift is happening and younger parents now are actually leaning more towards doing things that are more sustainable, organic, local, and better for the body and for the earth. So I think we just have to try to do the best we can to teach along the way and keep the habits going in the positive direction as best we can.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally. And also, children who actually are not so small, let's say 10 years old or 15, maybe, they are still living with
yeah.
their parents. So they can just come
right.
and say, oh, wow, but why are we drinking soda every single day? Why are we doing this? So it's not that
yeah.
he will stop doing it, but he or she will just make the parents aware of something. And that's enough.
That's very true. Kids teach their parents all the time by doing this kind of thing. And you're right. Let's inform everybody and get the information out there and and support one another in making the better choices, for sure.
Just a few fast questions I'm asking everybody. So what is the next big thing in healthcare?
The next big thing in healthcare? Ooh, that's a big question. Damn, that's a really big question. I would say the next big thing in healthcare is exactly what we were talking about, which is consciousness and the paradigm shift away from the big business pharma, big business farming, and bringing back together more of that local and sustainable perspective so that we have a cleaner earth and a cleaner physical body biome too. So I think that is our next biggest thing, is that consciousness and the actual action steps that will support a sustainable life rather than support the one that has been raping the planet and our bodies for years. And you can see it's not working because healthcare systems aren't handling people the way that they should. And it's high on people's awareness now that it's been long enough to see in retrospect that this isn't working. And like I said, with the pandemic, with just 30 days of being indoors and changing our habits, the earth could heal. So I think our next major shift and the next thing that's happening that's big is this consciousness of sustainability.
And the next question would be, one big thing that you regularly do to have a biggest positive impact on your health?
That would be the reading of the labels and avoiding trans fats, excited toxins, corn, sugar, and GMOs. That's the number one thing I do every day that has a huge impact on my body, for sure.
Do you feel that sometimes you do not get enough information on the package?
Oh, no. I feel you get lots of information. I think that people just don't know that the information is there and they don't know how to look at it. So that's the one good thing about label reading and the food industry. There are laws that force them to put everything that's in there. So thank God that is the case. Now you just need to learn to read that and know what it means. So I think that that's the next advancement. There needs to be more education and what those labels mean.
Yeah, makes sense. And the last question, if you could put one sentence on a billboard, what would that be? Somewhere in the city so that everybody can see it.
I love that question. That's awesome. That makes me think of something I learned when I was 14 years old at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. We had a nutrition person talk to us there as athletes. And there was a really great guy in the fitness industry who lived for a very long time. And he was one of the four, like the founding fathers of the fitness explosion, right? His name was Jack LaLanne. So what I would put on a billboard is, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. And that's what Jack LaLanne would say. If God didn't make it, don't eat it. And it's easy to remember and it's totally true. You don't even have to read a label. If it didn't come out of the ground or if it's not something that was just naturally created, don't eat it. There you have it.
Yeah. And actually it's good because it's becoming easier and easier to eat organic food because people are producing more and it's becoming cheaper because one of the major problems is it's actually expensive because it takes more time, obviously more resources, because you cannot just use all chemicals of this world just to make it grow faster and be green, yellow, whatever. And
exactly.
It'll be cheaper and cheaper. So,
yeah. And I think with our advances that we're having in farming, especially hydroponics and things like that, where you can grow vegetables and fruits very easily, even at home in little kits. I think that the movement of that is also really cool technology that will be helpful for all this too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend one resource or just book or anything to read more about it? More about healthy nutrition?
Yeah. One of my first books that changed me forever was Diet for a New America by Barry Robbins. That one was a huge eye-opener for me. And then another one is from Donna Gates, The Body Ecology Diet. She really brings together a lot of information. It's almost overwhelming how much information is in her book, but it brings to mind and brings people's attention to a lot of different systems that are very important. And she gives some really great how-to and action steps in the book too. So those would be two that I would recommend to get started with if you're looking at food and nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Somehow I just remembered Michelle Obama's book, her biography, and she was talking about the garden she planted near the White House. That was such a cool initiative. And looking at what we have right now, it's basically the same. Having your garden
Agreed.
In your flat, it's so much more healthy.
I agree. Yeah. 100% agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate and talking to you. And it was really a pleasure.
It was very lovely being here. And thank you so much for the conversation. And I hope I can be of service to anybody who needs me. You can always tune in to uncommonmedicine.com to see mm-hmm. more about me and my show and the same sort of information, as well as get in contact with me as a doctor if you're interested in learning more or need more help. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you want to add anything?
No, I'm great. I'm just really grateful. And I think we touched on a lot of really great topics today. This is really awesome to be here. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.